Over the Rainbow at Seeker's Quest in San Jose, California. I'm Reverend Harrison Roy Hesketh, and this is the 5th of October, Blessings of Life. And so, we're seeking to create a clear screen in the mind to reflect light upon. And so as you're going up, you're actually clearing the screen systematically. Another thing you're doing, you're automatically taking your attention from outside to inside. You're transferring your attention from your outer world and all these things that you've got attachments on. You know, Hawaiians call them akalines. You've got all these akalines out here. Got an akaline over here on the job, one over here on somebody you like, and somebody over here on this possession of yours, something over here on your car, something over here on these clothes. You've got all these lines running off of you. You see? Attachments in consciousness. One to mom, one to dad. There comes a point where you've got to free yourself and free them too. You have to stand independent. And sometimes that's tough. But if you've got these lines out, it's dependency. And that's the lowest stage, and you can't have any self-control or dependency. You're at the command of others. So the first is, this is an independent move to break free of all outer attachments to that and go in. Now you may have the old feelings in there when you go inside. You might have the old thoughts when you go inside. Well, you got to break those lines in order to stop the thoughts, stop the feelings. Because when you're reaching out to touch somebody for a healing, or you're reaching out for a reading, or you're reaching out in consciousness, you want all of your attention freed, sustained, and concentrated there. Free, sustained, and concentrated attention. Freed attention. Not bound by anything. Concentrated. Focused. That attention must be free, sustained, concentrated attention. And so in order to free your attention from the outer world, we just use this bridge, the Rainbow Bridge. Now the kahunas used it, and the Hawaiians, the shamans used it in North America, the Tibetans used it, the Hindus used it, the yogas used it, Tao used it, they used it in the Nordic teachings, they used it in esoteric Christianity, esoteric Buddhism, the Rainbow Bridge is found all these places. Read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, they talk about when you leave the body, you go through this field. You go through the lights, you go through the fields to the white light, to the pure light, to the white light, to the ultimate reality. Pure perfection. You're going through these fields. When you leave, you're going to go through these fields. If you want to hear the utterings that come out of those fields, the positive utterings, the seven utterings of Christ as he was on the cross, as he left his body, he said something from each sinner as he left. Up till I released it to spirit. And he left the body completely. But he said something. When he was here at the throat center, he said, I thirst. When he called John up and the emotional release for his mother, he says, here, this is your mother, this is your son. Well, here at the faith center, I mean, this statement of turning darkness into light is a dynamic statement saying, forgive them. How many times then when someone's crucifying you, can you turn darkness into light by saying, forgive them? See? But to be a true spiritual being, to work in the higher fields, you have to forgive everybody. And you have to forgive you. You have to forgive you for going against your body, your emotions, your mind, your knowledge, your creativeness. You've got to forgive you for everything. See? In order to be free. Otherwise, you're going to go in there, and all it's going to be in there is all this dialogue going on. Oh, you did this. And I did that. Oh, you're not ready this. Not ready that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And the blasts go on, you see. And the next thing you know, it's just you've got a talking meditation. The objective mind will even try to play God. Okay, now I am God up here talking to you, and it will start playing God on you, and you won't know the difference unless you can go into these higher states of consciousness. And I know a lot of people that are fooled by their objective mind. You've got to know the difference between impression and your thinking mind, your objective mind. Your thinking mind is the one that counts, and when you say 1, 2, 3 inside, that's objective mind. Impression comes in. It's received. Passive energy, you're becoming a receiver for energy. If you're aggressive, that's electric and it pushes things away. If you're receiving, that's magnetic, it draws things to you. So you're wishing to be magnetic, to draw things to you. Let the mountain come over here. The mountain comes to Muhammad. You see over here now. Let the mountain come over here. Why should I go over there? Are you magnetic? That's how powerful magnetic force is to move the mountain. Do you have faith like that? That's the kind of faith. Have you separated yourself from all things? See, you can do that at one point. Another point, you need to merge with all things. But you need to know when to do those things. As you take in, start going in, the first is last, and the last is first. You ever hear the Beatitude? The first is last, the last is first. The first thing you come to in your subconscious mind is the last thing that's put in. That's the first thing that's in the subconscious, the last thing you put in. The first thing that's in your subconscious mind is the last thing you come to. That's your consciousness as pure. It's a child, an innocent child. And so you want to get all the way through your subconscious mind to the innocent state. As a child, come as a child, you see. Now remember, this dependency has to be shifted from the world to an interdependency with spirit. And there's a definite shift from dependent to independent to this interdependency. Dependent, because when you came into this world, you were completely dependent. You had to be wiped, you had to be fed, you had to be clothed, you had to be carried around, and all this, so you got to do it yourself, right? Then you went out, and when you were about 13 or 14, 15, you broke free, you got independent. Unless you had some kind of traumatic experiences or something that held you in dependency. Maybe a dominating father or mother or a possessive parent or something like this. They would hold you in dependency. You see? And I had a woman came to me, she was 57 years old, and she says to me, she says, my mother tells me this, my mother tells me that. And her mother had been dead for 10 years. And she had been replaying these patterns over and over and over and over. And I says, does she always say the same thing? Or is she talking to you like anybody? Oh, no, she always says the same thing over and over. It was the programming in her subconscious mind. It wasn't mother. She wasn't having spirit contact. Just contacting this wave in her own subconscious mind, talking to her over and over again. So you have to watch the habits you got into acting certain ways. You know? You're going to have to break those. And we'll talk about that tomorrow night. We talk about breaking habits, conditioned reactions, defense reactions, those kind of things. So you're meditating 15 minutes in the morning, at noon, and if you get a stop at sunset, another 15 minutes. But if you only do one 15 minute, do it once in the morning. And if you can't find a place that's quiet, there's a little room you can go in and sit on the throne. Nobody will bother you. You're king there, queen there. That's it. You can go in there. If you go into the bathroom and you do meditate in the bathroom, cover the mirror. It is a reflective surface and it will have a reflective power in the subconscious mind. And it reverses polarities. Mirrors reverse polarity. Your right is on your left. Your left is on your right. And if you think you look like in the mirror, that's why when somebody takes a picture of you, you say, oh, that doesn't look like me, because you've got the mirror image in your mind instead of the true image of yourself. And some people got this mirror image in themselves. They look at the mirror and they think everybody sees them like that. Well, that's just the opposite. Have somebody take a picture of you and then give you the picture, then you see the truth, you see. But a lot of people think everybody sees them like they see themselves in the mirror, and that isn't true. The opposite. Okay. So you don't look that way. And if you've got that as your image, then you've got the wrong image. See? You need right knowledge about yourself, the right image of yourself. And reflective surfaces will not give you the right image of yourself. You don't even sound to anybody else like you sound to you. They have to be inside your nasal cavities, inside your head center and all this. Because you hear it on the tape recording, you say, is that me? Where's all them rich vibrations I feel? They're not there, because they're going on in you. And so see how we get the wrong image of ourselves? Don't go for that image. That's a poor image. It reverses things on you. Makes you contrary and makes you do things opposite of what you want to do. Darn, if I should have did that and I did that instead, how come I always do the opposite? Because you get this kind of consciousness, that subtle awareness will actually reverse things on you. So cover the mirror up. If you've got a mirror in the room where you're meditating, cover it up. So that's a symbolic movement to say, I'm not going to be fooled by reverse reflections. No longer reverse reflection, I must see it as it is. See, just as it is, get back to the truth. And so it's in the truth. All these things I'm telling you actually have deep effects upon you, and it can keep you out of meditation. Any flashy things in the room, flashing lights or bright lights or something, pick them out, turn them off, cover them up, do something, don't have them on. Just some kind of big bright lights or these kind of things. Otherwise your mind will keep going there, your awareness will go there. You'll feel the heat as you get into the e-meters. As you get into the finer e-meters, the etheric levels, you'll feel the heat of the body. You have a watch on, you'll feel the ticking of the watch on your nervous system. If you go, oh no, what's that? You might think it's some mystical thing. Oh, listen to that. And it'll be exaggerating your consciousness because it'll be coming at a different sensory level. It won't be like hearing it with your physical ears, feeling it and hearing it with your inner ears and consciousness. We'll have questions in just a minute. So, you want to find a comfortable position to sit in for your meditation. Feet and hands on cross, because that closes your circuit. You cross your legs, closes your circuit. When you put your hands together, cross your arms, it closes your circuit. That's why you're taught to pray in this manner, to close the circuit. You put your hands together, that re-energizes. If you just want to re-energize, just sit around and hold your hands together a little bit like this. You'll feel that you'll start re-energizing. Your energy just balances energy in your body just by holding your hands together like this. But I know people that stand around and talk like that. Their energy's balanced. So all these things have an effect upon your nervous system. And we're working with the nervous system, getting aware of the nervous system, because this is what picks it all up. Without that, you won't be able to pick up the mind strata, you will not be able to pick up the emotional strata, the light strata, these things, because you won't be able to be at that point of receptive strength. So the meditation is to bring you to a receptive point. So when you go over the bridge, after you're sitting in this comfortable position, you want to get to the white light and set in the white light. And then you go into the center of the crystal, and we'll be doing a meditation, so you don't have to do this meditation. If you sit on a chair, you want your feet flat on the floor, your back and head straight. And so you don't want to sit all the way against the back of the chair, because that can curve the spine a little bit and break the energy flow. You want energy to flow straight down through your spine. If you study yoga, you might get into one of those lotus positions. I'm not built for lotus positions. More like rambling roads. Right going over here. If I sit with my leg up on my thigh for more than a split second, it goes numb. So I didn't like the feeling of going, just let it go numb, you know, let the whole body go numb. I'd rather not do that. So you know, we just sit in a cross-legged position if you're sitting in, you know, you're sitting in that. You know, I'll do the lotus, because that's beneficial for meditation. The posture I'm telling you, though, by sitting on the chair is called the Egyptian posture. And it's the Egyptian meditative posture, where you just sit on there with your hands up in the air, rested on your hands. Let me do this here on Kevin Street, the seating posture. And so he said, meditate, find a comfortable position. Okay, I'm going to do my meditation. But I can't find a comfortable position. Okay, he always sits up straight. Okay. Feet on the floor. Okay. Oh, I'm going to take a meditate now. It'll work, huh? Oh, hands up. Okay. First thing. Oh, no, sir. Oh, they're itching. Oh, boy, I've got to get a comfortable position. Okay, sitting here. Okay. Okay, let's see. Oh, red. Let's see. Red. Okay, red. What's red look like? Okay, an apple. Not a green apple, a red one. my mind likes to play around. Don't do that anymore. Okay. Okay, I don't want yellow green. Wait a minute, that's a bastard. Jeez. Okay, yeah. Oh, I gotta do what later? I'll take care of the car. Pick up this after work. And I gotta get this clean. Don't move that money over there. Wait a minute, I can have that later. Wait. Your mind will want to say a lot of things. Your body will want to talk to you. You just want to get to the point where you're paying attention to the back of your brow. inside. You're concentrating on your breath going in through your nose, and you're visualizing the color here, the back of the brow. So focus your inner sight on the back of your brow to get the color, and then see it at the base of the spine, moving through the body. Next one, see it right over the spleen. Move them just as the picture shows us here. For each one of these centers, you're just concentrating your attention. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Setting there in a comfortable position. Now there's another way you can do this, laying flat on the floor. But don't let your head drift over the side this way or this way or this way. It breaks the current. And when your head is down this way, energy comes in through the back here. Energy on your nervous system there. You can have possessions come on, things like that come on, or blessings come on. Energies come. That's why you're taught to drive your head like this so you can receive the energies right into the nervous system. So when it's set straight, so the energy comes straight down through the top of the head. You want that sensory perception level activated. And you may even feel like someone's got a little string here pulling it up. You know, you might feel at the top of your head, might feel like your head's opening or something as you get to that point. That's okay. All those things are natural. You might find your body shake a little bit. You might your head shake during your body. Or you might find yourself rocking a little bit. That rock is when you're moving with the planet's location. This meditation is called an ascension meditation. And it's to ascend, to lift above, to go beyond these levels. And so you're constantly transferring your attention from the outer field to the inner field and up. In and up. In and up. That's the first movement. In and up. Concentrating on the back of the forehead, looking right there. Just there at the first screen. You can make that pretty easily. And later on you may see a screen out here. And this may all be your screen after a while. That's where it ends up. But this is the whole thing. All the inner and outer, there's no difference. When you first start, you'll see there is a difference. When you go in, you have to separate the darkness and the light. Because when you first go in, it looks dark in there. And you'll see, oh, there's something very white, like a veil or something there. You want to start concentrating on that. That's the light. And so it's subtle, very subtle. But it'll become very strong after you work with it a while. The subtle becomes gross, and the gross becomes subtle. So the meditation is very simple, going through each one of these centers, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. You're first paying attention, concentrating your attention, observing where the attention is going to get to the meditative state. And in meditation, you keep the repetition up of that. That's called contemplation. It goes in deeper. That gives you depth. And then you'll get to the superconscious state where you'll see. You'll see. Now, if images come, an eye comes, these kind of things, they happen. That's just showing you you're getting into those fields. That's all. You see, you might look in there and there'll be an eye looking back at you. Some of you might already have that. Or you might see lights or sparkles or something going on in there. That's all natural. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. That's not meditation. That's seeing. And you want to get past that so you can look through your individuality to the seeing rather than up to it. You want to look and match to it. So you're learning first objectivity, to be objective to your body, to your emotions, and your mind. That's the first point. So seek to just be objective to your body, your emotions, or mind. Just to see them as they're an instrument you are using. You are using this instrument. This body is part of the physical universe. And just because it's out there walking around and it has mobility, it's still part of it and it's still dependent upon the substance, this universe. You may live about 60 days without food. You'll die. The body will die without substance, meaning of this dimension. Your emotions will die if you don't eat of the emotional dimension. Your mind will die if you don't eat of that dimension. Your soul will die if you don't eat of that dimension. Your spirit dies if you don't eat of that dimension. You strengthen those bodies by consuming the substance of those planes. We are starting to consume the substance of these higher centers from the heart above. We want to walk in our heart, firmly planted within our head, objective and detached from the world as the power. There's only one mind. Your mind is part of that one mind. It's limited by a language. You may have two languages, and your mother, most people only have one. And it's limited. You don't know it all. And so that's all the association you have with it until you get out of that area. And you'll find that there are definite areas of your mind. There's a part of mind that worries. There's a part of mind that wants to know everything. There's a part of mind that's skeptical. That part is not the true part of mind. It's something you have to overcome. And then you have to overcome arrogance, because you get arrogant if you have some successes if you're not careful. And that will ruin you too, just like skepticism will ruin you. Arrogance will ruin you too. Both those areas will ruin you. So tomorrow morning, when you get up, do your meditation. Stop at noon for a few moments and just go over your colors again. You're giving the pattern to your conscious mind. You're starting to learn to transfer your consciousness. And then tomorrow we'll go into the emotional control. Next night into the mental control. Let's see how the class is going. Then it's open heart, quiet mind. Then it's center of response. Let me see if I'm doing this right. Yes. So center of response, then open heart, quiet mind, then color your life. We'll be on the, let's see, we're going to six. Wait. This is an odd. That's a wrong one. October, okay. This is the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. 9th. And then where, I guess that's still Friday. The next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the next week. So that's the way the classes go. I think there's one of these nights. Oh yeah, the 13th is a full moon ceremony. And we'll be having a full moon ceremony. We'll let you know where that's at. We have one every month. It's a healing circle, and it's a very powerful service we've been doing for 7 years. And our circle will be connecting with three other circles that will be going on at the exact same time. One in Vancouver, British Columbia, one in Seattle, Washington, one in Hawaii. And we hook up this Trinity power and draw it. We're working there. And then there is people doing full moon ceremonies in England and back in some other places, other centers. Okay. Is there any questions about what I discussed so far? Yes.
I have a problem with having a merger in the cat.
Put them out. Put them out of the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, see, they want to come over and lay down in the energies. And I notice if I'm meditating and there's an animal around, as soon as I get up and leave the place, they'll go over and lay down in that spot because it's a comfortable, quiet vortex. They're drawn to it. And they want to, you know, they want to see what's going on there too. They have a lot of curiosity. So put your cats out for the time. Put them out of the room. Don't have, you shouldn't have people in the room. You shouldn't have animals in the room, bright, flashy things in the room. This should be a place where you go quietly yourself. And if you don't have a bedroom, you can do it by yourself, or a closet, you know, big enough to do it. Go in the bathroom and do it. But pick the same place, same time. This gives a rhythm to your subconscious mind to reach quicker for it. Each time it'll reach quicker. When you go deeper, it'll help you aid you going into the meditation. If you do it at random times, it'll take you longer. So if you do it at the same time every day, you get a rhythm. Okay, rhythm also gives you an ability to see the truth. Because if it's on truth, it's not harmonious. Rhythm, harmony brings reality of truth. So that's one of the first things you're learning. One of the metaphysical things that happen to you, you start seeing when people are not telling you the truth because it's out of harmony. And don't get upset with them. And you'll have a harder time not telling the truth yourself because you're in the rhythm. You'll go out of get out of harmony and start bouncing around. Yes?
I've been practicing the rainbow, trying to I get stuck on one or two colors.
Okay, what happens is, just keep going. Keep your mind, bring your mind back to the color and go on to the next color. There's something in that area of consciousness that wants to take your attention. If it will not give up, if whatever it is keeps nagging at you, keeps pulling you back to that color, okay, concentrate more on that color and say, okay, subconscious mind, what is it? Ask what it is. it may be maybe a fear, maybe something, a belief that you have, but maybe might be the fear of the unknown. That's one of the most common ones. But I don't know what's going to happen. If I get to the top here, I might pop right out of my body. Am I going to get back? You see, when I was doing teleportation, one of the fears I had was materializing in a wall. I was afraid it was going to come and get solid inside a wall, and guts and everything hanging out the wall. You know, those crazy pictures. That it never happened. And so those things will pass. Those things will pass. But after a while, you'll be able to check your mind and see what level of consciousness you may have some stop in. So it gives you a self-analysis tool to check it out. And then this is also the key into areas of mind, instinctive mind, subconscious mind, some of the subconscious mind, environmental mind, creative mind, so on and so forth. We'll learn those mind levels in the mental class. And so it'll tell you what area of mind you can go into by going into a particular field. You can get that universal field of that consciousness by going into that light. And so as you go up the rainbow, you're also practicing holding attention, focus. So if it drifts, don't get upset. Don't be hard on yourself. It's very important that you treat yourself with love and respect. Care about yourself. And don't be hard on yourself anyway. Love yourself. You see, I can't overemphasize that. Don't be hard on yourself. Just put more blocks in your consciousness to come over if you get hard on yourself. So be gentle. Just bring your mind back to it. Just gently bring it back. If you go, oh, darn it, it happens every time, bang. You've just put happen every time. You've impressed it with emotional energy. And then when you go to go up, you're going to have to get a little heavier to unimpress it. You know, so don't put any negatives against yourself. Love yourself, respect yourself, care about yourself. Know God's in you as you be in touch with that oneness. In the good self, looking for the good self. You know, and it's like back in the 40s. I remember they had this a cartoon out. It was a Donald Duck, and on one shoulder he had the devil, and on the other he had the angel. Oh, come on, Donald, do it good.
No, Donald, you shouldn't.
Well, that's what happens in your mind, too. It'll start happening like that, you know. Like there's one affirmation we tell people, say, I will persist till I succeed, I will persist till I succeed. And when I first did that, I was like, I will persist till I succeed, I will persist till I succeed. My mind was saying, who are you kidding? I said, wait a minute. How come that's coming back like that? Well, remember when you started this and you didn't remember this? And I said, to remember it for a while. And I said, wait a minute, I don't remember all this. I will persist till I succeed. I just kept doing that. And pretty soon that voice faded out. And then inside the voice, I will persist till I succeed, was chanting with me. The same inner and outer consciousness was chanting together. I wasn't saying one thing out here and thinking something else inside was all together. So it has to be all together. You can't be saying one thing and thinking another. So you have to be all together. So it's a way of becoming all together. Get your body, mind, soul, and spirit in union in the meditation group. So be good to yourself. Love yourself. Yeah, I listened to one time and she was having a hard time. She says, what's wrong? And this voice comes back and says, you forgot to keep yourself well. Oh, she said, got it. Went right out. Got right out of the body. Fell in love and went out. Other questions? Yes?
You're saying simply about cycling, but it was unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get your person with that? How do you assume?
You have to go, well, after you've had enough technique to get out of yourself and get into spirit body, then you can do those things. But you have to get into the spirit body, then you have to take that into the unconscious realm without going unconscious yourself. And so that's like not going to sleep. See, when I learn temple sleep, my body sleeps, my emotions are off, my mind is still, and I'm aware. In temple sleep, I'm aware of light or master teaching me or out of the body, traveling around, talking to students, those kind of things, or going to the ministers, helping them, these kind of, going to a sick person or something like that. Then I can do that, but as long as I'm stuck here, I'm limited by time, space, and circumstance. You have to get the feel that's not limited by those things. So when you're going to sleep, I had a master told me to not ever go to sleep again. He says that's on consciousness. You want to be conscious, super conscious. He said, so don't go to sleep. He says you have a choice when you're going in to go to darkness or light, to go unconscious or conscious. He says, and you're in the habit of going unconscious. And so I started asking everybody after he left, what do you do? Everybody went to sleep. I was thinking, now, who am I going to believe, him or everybody else? In my own experiences, you see, I had to fight everybody else's belief and my own belief that I was going unconscious every night to do it. So for 9 months, I practiced every night. And boy, I'd shake my leg to see if I was asleep. I found you're not supposed to shake your leg because you just put your mind back in your body. You put your energies back in your body. So you had to let all that go. And it was in November of 1974, and I was doing this at the end of this exercise. I finally says, I give up. I can't do it, man. I've been trying this every night. I've been trying this. I've been going in and trying. That's when I found out trying was lying. And I just gave up. And boy, the body went to sleep. The emotion went to sleep. The mind became still. I was aware. And then I said, I wonder what time it is. And I opened my eyes and it was daylight. I never went unconscious, but there was no time. There was no time consciousness. So I was there. And boy, I was so energized. But before that, when I was trying to do it, I'd wake up, I'd be so tired from tossing and turning and moving my legs and trying to, if I held my body stiff, maybe I'd be like, boy, I'd wake up and wow, man, all tense, I have to go get a rub down, get loosened up again. I tried all kinds of things because he told me it could be done, then he left. And I experimented to get it. I just believed him. I kept saying, I believe in you, I believe in you. And there was, after 9 months, I'm still saying, I believe in you? Yes, I do, I do, I do, I believe in you, I believe in you. My mind was saying, you really believe that stuff? You know, my mind was saying no. But my spirit was willing to go. So I just kept doing it until I found it. And I kept saying, I will persist till I succeed, I will persist till I succeed. I am a success, I am a success, I am a success. Right now. And so I put positive energy in the subconscious mind to overcome the negative blocks. And so you may have negative blocks that have to be overcome. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Anything else about the meditation or what we discussed tonight?
Where the word says hold and then just to the right, what is that abbreviation? CT.
Oh, center.
Center.
Yes, center of the crown. The center of the crown. In fact, it's a vortex. It's as big as the heart center. It has 12 petals. Heart center has 12 petals, and it's instrumental in blocking the six-pointed star. When you blend your higher and lower triads together, you get a six-pointed star. This is a Kabbalah teaching, ancient teaching, to be the seal of Solomon. When you give up your body for God's body, you give up your emotions for God's desire. You give up your will for God's will. You give up your knowledge for God's knowledge. It goes this way. Physical body, spiritual body. Mind, personal desires, spiritual desires. Personal will, spiritual will. Personal knowledge, God's knowledge. And then when you give up your knowledge for God's knowledge, then it interlocks the six-pointed star, can't be broken again. That's the key. And a lot of people get to the first movements, but they don't lock it in by giving up what they know, the limitation of what they know. That was quite a ritual to do that. Because I was really, when I was 19, I knew everything. And when I was 20, I knew half of everything. Something happened in that year. You know, you get to the point where, well, you know everything, and then you realize you don't know. I went to that point and I finally had to give it up. So when you get to the center of the crown here, that golden field, that energy there deals with universal mind strata, deals with going into the banks of universal knowledge and that, and you have to go out through that flame or that sphere. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes.
Just one, you say crystal light. You know, like, what for me is like it's a transparent.
Just like between you and I, you know. Just the space between us, that's clear.
It's just clear then.
It's just clear. And if it's a crystal firelight, it's like heat coming off of a road. See, on a hot summer road, the heat comes up off the road. It, that's the way the crystal looks. It looks like that waviness when it's moving. That's when it's in spirit, when it's moving in this crystal. When it's in a pure state, then it's just clear, like between you and I, it's infinitely clear in all directions. That's the, if you read the book of Revelations, that's the glass sea before the throne. That's the glass sea before the throne of God, the crystalline sea. And then standing before the throne is the cherubims protecting them as he can't get past the sea. And he doesn't need any protection. But they're there. Yes?
Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
No. Because I want you to be conscious and do this exercise first. Later on, I'll talk about it. Okay, let's take a little break and about 10 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll do our meditation. If you have any other questions at that time, I'll answer them.